The Five Leadership Questions podcast is brought to you by Ministry Grid, an online video-based training resource for all the leaders and volunteers at your church. To learn more and to get a two-week free trial, visit ministrygrid.com/howitworks. That's ministrygrid.com/howitworks. Now, enjoy the podcast. Hey, and welcome to the Five Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Barnabas Piper, here as usual with Todd Adkins.
What?
Coming strong with his typical greeting. Today, yes. We have the chance to talk with Ronnie Floyd. Some of the listeners may know who Ronnie Floyd is, some may not. Todd, what do you know about Ronnie Floyd?
Well, Ronnie Floyd is kind of he is a leader that kind of runs on, you know, the RPM meter on your dashboard?
Yes.
He runs in the red.
He redlines.
He redlines constantly and consistently in, I would say, he's one of those people like a Geiger who you're like, I don't know how this guy does all he does.
So it's a red line for anybody else, but for him it's sitting comfortably at like 2,000 to 3,000.
Yeah. And what I think you'll hear in the podcast is something interesting. One of the places we talk about is discipline. And I think that one of the things that we see consistently is the difference between good leaders and great leaders is the practice of discipline.
And and you'll hear some of this in the conversation because we have the advantage of talking to them before we introduce them.
Yeah.
But
I'm glad we do that now.
I know. It helps the intro and makes it, I think, less boring. But I hope less boring.
Slightly.
But the consistency, because he has served at Cross Church in Northwest Arkansas for 30 years. He's been in pastoral ministry for 40 years. And some of the things he talks about, he's been doing that entire time.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason that he is fueled to continue to serve and lead the way he is.
Totally. Or he talks about doing this thing for business leaders, and it's not just something that he did 5 months ago or 15
right.
months ago. He's been doing it for 15 years.
Right. So that – and the, what Todd just mentioned is called the Summit. It's a lunch for business people. And again, hosted in Northwest Arkansas. And we get into some of this in the podcast. If you hear Northwest Arkansas and hear like dueling banjos in your head, it's that used to be true.
Yeah.
But it's the world headquarters for Walmart, which I believe is the world's largest retailer. And with Walmart comes J.B. Hunt Shipping Company, comes Tyson Foods, I think also the world's largest meat and poultry producer. So if you're an animal rights activist, may not be the place for you.
No, there's also lots of hunting in Northwest
Arkansas. Yes, lots of gunning down of innocent Bambis and things.
Ducks.
And birds. Then he lays out how there are now branch offices for some of the world's leading manufacturing companies like Procter & Gamble and some others because of the Walmart hub. So he serves in a place where it's a business and leadership hub, even if it's off the beaten path. There's also the University of Arkansas there, which is a significant education institution. So a couple other things about Ronnie. He is the author of a book called Forward, Seven Distinguishing Marks for Future Leaders. That came out in 2015, I believe.
Yep. June. I tweeted through it.
It's a small book, one of those smaller hardcover books, a great little resource for leaders. So again, that's Forward, Seven Distinguishing Marks for Future Leaders. You can find a link to that in the show notes. He is the recent and former president of the Southern Baptist Convention. So he has led the world's largest Protestant or evangelical denomination. And then, as I mentioned, has pastored at Cross Church in Northwest Arkansas for 30 years as of the fall of 2016. So now 30 plus years. So it's a great conversation. Ronnie's a great friend of Lifeway and a partner of ours. Speaking of partners of ours, before we jump into the podcast, we want to highlight Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, our sponsor for the podcast. You've heard us talk about them on this podcast before, and our appreciation for them. Southeastern is located in Wake Forest, North Carolina, and offers kind of the full slate of master's degrees through seminary. So MDivs, theology degrees, practical ministry degrees. Their focus is sending people to do Great Commission ministry, whether it's local church, local business, or around the world in missions. And they're as consistent as can be in doing that.
Yeah. They also do PhDs.
Ah, they do PhDs. And where do you stand in your PhD endeavors, Todd?
I have filled out the application.
As of the recording of this, may have changed by the time we release this.
That may have changed. Hopefully, I will...
Made progress.
I have made progress. I've had several conversations.
Yes.
And I'm getting my stuff in order.
And
apparently,
actually,
applying for a PhD is, you know, a bigger deal.
Who knew? Which is a mark for Southeastern, because they take it seriously. They don't just let any old schlub in there.
That's true.
So we do have a number of coworkers who graduated with master's degrees or doctorates from Southeastern, and I've never heard a negative word from them.
I did seminary at Southern, but you know it, which is also a great institution. I couldn't have gotten a better education at the time I went, and I think.
Different
ones of those institutions have different emphasis and perspectives.
Right.
So
yeah, just sort of different areas of strength. So if you want to hear a little bit more about Southeastern, you can go back and find the episodes with Danny Aiken or Bruce Ashford. We recorded both of those in 2015, I believe.
Yep.
So you can go back and listen to those. To learn more, go to sebts.edu/5LQ. That's sebts.edu/5LQ. If you choose to apply, be sure to use the code 5LQ, and you will get a discount on your application fee. So sebts.edu/5LQ. Check it out to learn more there. Thanks for listening. Now, here is our conversation with Ronnie Floyd. We are here today with Ronnie Floyd, the pastor of Cross Church in Northwest Arkansas. You heard a little bit about his life and ministry in the introduction. Pastor Floyd, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you so much, Barnabas, and so appreciate you and Todd and what you're doing. I'm a chronic listener of your podcast, and thank you for mentoring me and encouraging me along the way. And it's a real honor, a humbling privilege, quite honestly, to be able to be asked to be on it.
Well, we love chronic listeners. I think we love chronic leaders as well, and we know that you've been in ministry for 40 years, so we're really excited about
30 of which is at the same church, which is
unheard of.
It's a rare thing.
Well, the Lord is blessed, and I'm really I treat it as an act of grace and a blessing.
Well, before we jump into our five questions, we always like to hear from our guests just a little bit, to share a little bit about your story, your life, your family, your ministry, some of just to give listeners a sense of how you got to where you are, who you are, because our questions are obviously focused in on leadership, but you can give us a sense of your life and who you are a little bit. That would be great.
Sure, that'd be a real privilege. First of all, I was raised in the state of Texas in a small town of about 5,000
people. And they let you into Arkansas?
That's great.
That was a miracle, bro. Let me just tell you, it still is a miracle. And I was raised about 90 miles from Austin, the capital city. I grew up a Texas Longhorn fan and a Dallas Cowboy fan and wanted to be the head football coach of both. And then the Lord redirected my life and called me to ministry. And every now and then I thought the last 5 years or so that they could have used me at both of those organizations.
But then you realized you'd be working for Jerry Jones. And since this is all about leadership, you realize, maybe not.
It's just some things you don't need to be
doing.
That's
right.
So anyway, I did that, ended up coming to Christ. My mom and dad were just great believers and raised me in a small church of 30 to 40 on a Sunday. And that's what my heritage is. And when I went to school, went to college, I was the first to graduate from college in my family and went to a small Baptist college in the state of Texas. And then went and did my master's and my doctorate at Southwestern Seminary. I started pastoring in college, fell in love with my wife in college, and she's a PK like you, Barnabas.
And Todd.
And Todd, that's
PKs.
Right. I forgot about that.
Both of us.
And so anyway, her dad said that she would never marry a preacher. That's what she always told him. And he reminds me, he did remind me before he died, and some people believe, and I believe, Ronnie, she really stole his accomplice. That she's not married a preacher. So anyway, that's here and there. And so we really have had the privilege to pastor in the state of Texas for a number of years. And God just really blessed in that younger life of leading in that decade there. And out of the blue, for some reason, the Lord called me to Northwest Arkansas 30 years ago. This week, which, you know, we're obviously just so grateful for the privilege to be here. And it's, and, you know, we've always been willing to do whatever God wants us to do. And I'm still willing to do what God wants me to do. But for some reason, in His sovereign purpose and will, this has been His will for my life at this point thus far. And it's been an extraordinary privilege. Northwest Arkansas is a fantastic place to live. And, perhaps we can get into that later on today.
Well, give us, give listeners a bit of context, because when somebody who's not from the area hears Northwest Arkansas, it probably sounds like kind of the boondocks, to be honest.
I think
I understand fully.
I think Tyson's Chicken, Walmart, and and
there's a
hunting.
Large and a large, there's a couple large shipping companies, but that's what I was getting at, is that it's right. It's sort of an epicenter of some really significant businesses, but you wouldn't guess really that when you hear Northwest Arkansas.
Exactly. When I moved here years ago, the only place to go after Sunday night church was a Shoney's on top of a hill by an old mall, and now that the whole thing has changed dramatically. Walmart is the headquarters here in Bentonville, Arkansas, and Northwest Arkansas is comprised of mainly Fayetteville, Springdale, Rogers, Bentonville, and some surrounding communities. And Bentonville is the home of Walmart, and Rogers or Lowell, a small town out of Rogers, is the home of J.B. Hunt Transport.
That's
and
the
then,
one.
Yep. Yeah, and then down the street from our Springdale campus is the home of Tyson Foods, which is the largest beef and poultry producer in the world. And then in Fayetteville, just 5 minutes from our Fayetteville campus and about 15 to 18 minutes from our Springdale campus, is the University of Arkansas. And so those four major entities have been the anchors through the years. But what happened a few years ago, Walmart began to express not mandates, but preferences that if you're going to take care of us and you're going to take care of your account with us, you really ought to think about having some presence here in Northwest Arkansas. So surprising to people, we have about 12 to 1400 national and international companies that have some kind of level of presence here in Northwest Arkansas to take care of the Walmart account.
Right.
And so,
which is always every company's biggest account or one of them.
Absolutely. No question about it. And so, you know, some of these companies, their presence might be five people. For some of the companies, their presence may be hundreds of people. It's the major branch of the number one branch of Procter & Gamble, for example. Yeah. Is right here in Northwest Arkansas. The home is Cincinnati. And so Kraft Food will have 400 plus people here to take care of the Walmart account. I could go on and on and on. But the point is that this is a tremendous leadership culture here.
Right.
Always has been. And now is more than ever before. And so much of what I've learned about leadership, I've learned here in Northwest Arkansas.
I do want to get into our first question. You know, if you're a learner, if you're a leader, not a learner, you got a short shelf life. So
yeah.
I know this is one of the things that you actually live out. If anybody reads your blog or interacts with you on a regular basis online, they can see that you're constantly learning. But who are you learning from right now?
Well, that's a wonderful question. Thank you for asking. I'm a runner. I'm not fast, but I go long. I try to work out an hour a day, 5 to 6 days a week in various ways. And I'm an avid podcast listener the entire time. You know, the Bible talks about how physical energy or exercise it profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. I try to combine the two and really use it as a tremendous learning opportunity, because I have leaders from all over the world that pour into me and they don't even know they do. And people that are different than me, people that believe differently in me at times, but at the same time, a lot of people that I know and love and appreciate. I also have a very young team. If you were to sit down with my leadership team, you would see 10 young guys other than about two other guys. And they're full of energy and life, and they've taught me so much. And I really believe that being teachable is a mark of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think it's one of the great characteristics of a leader. And I love to learn. I am a consistent learner. And, you know, the last 2 to 5 years, Todd and Barnabas, the Lord has really placed me in all kind of all kind of settings across America and the world, not just within the realm of my own denomination, but way beyond in various evangelical circles. And yesterday, for example, I mentored all day long 12 guys that are a part of the Assembly of God denomination. In fact, one of their leaders, one of their top two or three leaders of the entire denomination was a part of that yesterday, just to learn and to grow. And those guys taught me, as well as me having the privilege to pour into them. And I said a moment ago, and I think we can't undervalue this, we live in a dynamic region here, here in Northwest Arkansas. World headquarters for Walmart, J.B. Hunt, Tyson Foods, the University of Arkansas, 12 to 1,400 national companies, dynamic region in education, law, private business, and politics. And so all of that, you just kind of shake up, and that's me, man. And I just learned so much and still learning and really excited about whatever God has in the future for my life in the realm of leadership.
You mentioned listening to podcasts, you know, as you run and being a, what did you call yourself earlier, a chronic listener of ours.
Yes, that's right.
You know, other than your favorite podcast.
That's right. Other than this one, what are some of the other podcasts that you put up with when you don't have a new episode of Five Leadership Questions?
Oh, well, thank you. I enjoy listening to Vander Blumen. I enjoy listening to Rainer on Leadership.
He's okay.
I enjoy listening to even one of the new podcasts on, which is Jeremy Roberts' podcast. And just a younger tent. I listen to a lot of preaching along the way and really just try to grow and learn. And, you know, if I come across something that somebody sends me, and of course, a lot of people know that I do this. And so periodically they'll send me something off of iTunes and I'll dial in. I like to check in periodically with our seminaries, listen to those who are friendly online and publishing their stuff online just to hear, you know, what's being said. I like to listen to academia stuff at times. Trying to learn, trying to grow, trying to expand and enlarge my theological perspective, as well as my political perspective here in America and all those challenges that we face in life today.
Well, yeah, I appreciate you sharing those specifics. And then, you know, you mentioned, or we mentioned earlier, the summit, this business lunch that you founded, I think, about 15 years ago. And
that's correct.
You know, you've spoken at on occasion, but also brought in leaders from around the world, really, and around the country. What opportunities does that afford you as a learner to be part of? I mean, just to be there with a whole bunch of business minds.
Well, I think it's been, you know, let me just tell the story of that. We originally started that 15 years ago when we became a multi-campus church and we started our second campus, which was our first campus away from the mama campus. We did it up at Pinnacle Hills or Rogers, Arkansas, and that was part of our strategy. I felt like the business culture there was so rich and flourishing that if I could ever dial into that. And so it's not a Bible study. It's not, you know, it's not that. It's a time where we talk about leadership and motivation, what does it take to be successful in the world today. And for the first 2 years, guys, I taught it. And there would be 200 or 300 guys and women that would come to it. I was pretty blown away. But I was also teaching at that time a Bible study for the coaches of the University of Arkansas, speaking on Sunday morning several times, Sunday night, doing multi-campus work. And so the bottom line is I knew long-term if it was going to grow, I needed to bring in others. And so we began to bring in talent. And now, depends on who's there, we'll have 300. We've had as many as 800. It just all depends. This past week, we had a major from the Israeli Army who happened to be here in America, and one of our people know her and have met her, and she was really, really different and unique. We've had people from the sports world. We've had people from all walks of life. In fact, this week we have United States Senator Tom Cotton, who is one of our guys here in Northwest Arkansas. We will have Matt Staver with the Liberty Council. You know, we will have all kind of people, women, men. We try to establish that we can all learn together And, you know, it's just a, it's a rich, rich, rich culture. And part of that, again, is the inbred energy and dynamic and vision of Northwest Arkansas. And so that's just really, really powerful.
Well, yeah, thanks for telling that story and giving listeners some context on that and just the nature of that. Let's hit our second question, and that is, what's the main point of emphasis for your leadership right now, either as a team or personally as a leader?
Well, thank you. I thought about that some, and it's pretty simple right now. We worked with Oxano, which is led by Will Mancini, several years ago. And then we went through another time of redefining and reclarifying with the Soderquist Center on Leadership that Andy Wilson led with Don Soderquist for a while. But we felt like now in this new season of our church, I'm no longer president of the SBC, and obviously this whole element of just redefining, me being here now for 30 years, that we really needed to go deep again. And I'm the one that suggested it, and I called Will, and we worked out a time. And so for the next 11 months, we're going to be meeting with Will Mancini and his team. We met on Monday. And all Will does through the Oxano ministry is to help churches clarify who they are, what they're about, and really try to establish some measurables and some motivations along the way to help us reach our target. So we're doing that. Another thing is that's really big on my heart is I really think this is a redefining moment for our church between now and 2020, preparing for the future. And one of the major emphases I've really been lifting up, and I'm going to forever do it, is we need ministers of the gospel returning to Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, and understanding their goal should be to prepare people to do the work of the ministry. And one of my real focus points for the next 3 years will be all wrapped up in this whole element of enlisting, developing, multiplying, and deploying leaders daily into Northwest Arkansas, across the world, as these businessmen and women are literally going worldwide and global, ready to minister to people who come here from all over the world to do business, as well as deploying young men and women who believe God has called them to ministry. This is why we've established our Cross Church School of Ministry, and we're now in our fourth cohort of that, which is a one-year ministry residency for men and women who believe God's called them to work in the local church or even beyond in ministry.
Well, I mean, you know, anybody that listens to the podcast very long understands that is our heartbeat as well. It took everything that I had not to amen and come on during that last part. But, you know, we really appreciate and value that in your church, and that even looking at how really quickly, how did you establish that year-long cohort process at your church? I mean,
well,
because there are a lot of churches right now that the lines between formal and informal education are getting blurred over the course of time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people coming out of seminary are even eager to, you know, maybe get a year under their belt at a church before they go out and take their own. So tell a little bit about how that came to be.
Well, the Cross Church School of Ministry was a vision of ours and a dream of mine. And what we did is that we really tried to establish a one-year ministry residency that would prepare God-called men and women for life, leadership, and gospel advancement globally. And that was our real heartbeat. And I knew that the guy that I felt needed to do that for us, and his name is Dr. Jeff Crawford. He has an earned doctorate degree from Southern and graduate of Oklahoma Baptist University. He did his master's at Southwestern. He was on my team before. He understands the dynamics of education. He was pastoring a church, running 1,000. He had already been on our team on working in our school, working on our campuses as well along the way. And I loved he and Julie and believed in them. And I threw the vision out to him, and he and I began to carve the vision. And we're now entering our fourth cohort. And what we did, Todd and Barnabas, with our situation was we told guys, you come here for 1 year and you will immediately establish your track of where you believe God is calling you. If that changes while you're navigating your time here, then we'll change the dynamic. Everyone chooses their own ministry leadership path. They are entrusted with a mentor on our team. They are placed on our ministry staff full time. They go to all of our meetings. They have responsibilities. They have accountability. And it's a dynamic opportunity. Simultaneously, we've established 16 different partnerships with academic institutions at the collegiate, the university level, as well as the seminary level. So because of the dire need for many people to get that kind of personal experience on the job training.
Yeah.
These schools have done a fabulous job, and these guys and girls can come here and they can not even feel like they're missing out on a year of schooling, because they can receive sometimes as many as 18 to 21 hours by the signing of their name and by coming here at the master's level and the bachelor's level. That is a tremendous opportunity. And they can also take online classes at night if they want to, on their own time. But we expect them to work. They are engaged. Every Wednesday they meet with Dr. Crawford and some other people. We also give them one global missions experience along with two North American mission experiences, because we want them to leave with a heart for the world and to understand the need to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, whatever they end up doing. And I tell you what I've learned in all this is that you know, our goal is not to compete with the academic institutions, but our goal is to complement them. But so many of our academic institutions train people, and many of those people that train them have no local church experience. And if you haven't pastored a local church in the last 5 or 10 years, it's really hard to really identify, because it is so dramatically changed. And so we believe we can complement what they do, and we believe that those who are working with us, and we have partnerships with a lot of seminaries and with a lot of colleges, they are believing in us. And when these guys and girls quit, we graduate them. They have a 1-year certificate. They will forever be a part of the Cross Church Network. And we have seen many of them advance and do wonderful things into PhD programs and way beyond. We get them, if they enter college, when the middle of college, after college, in the middle of seminaries, for seminary, after seminary, it all depends. But God has used it greatly, and really excited about it.
We've only answered 2 questions at this point.
Yeah.
So we're enjoying ourselves a little too much.
That's always how it goes.
It is. All right. So I'm going to ask you question 3. What are 2 or 3 things that you absolutely must do daily, and what benefit do they have for your life and leadership?
Well, that's an easy question for me to answer, and I'll go straight to the heart of it. Above all, starting my day with God is imperative. And I've done that for decades, decades, decades. I can't remember when I haven't. And I've been very committed to the principle of starting my day out with the Lord. I read through the Bible at least once a year. I've done it for, you know, a long time, since 1990, at least doing that. I also obviously keep a prayer journal and really pray specifically about matters. I do that on my iPad. And I have written, you know, at the end of my quiet time every day, guys, since 1990, I have written a 1-page prayer to God to kind of capsule what the Lord's doing in my heart. And I've tried to be faithful to that all through the year. So that's big. A second thing is the dynamic of really operating in a fitness and exercise program 5 to 6 days a week, and really committing an hour to it. And as I've already talked about today, letting the Lord teach us through it. But also, you know what? We need to be fit, and we need to be ready to do what God wants us to do. And I want to give my best for Christ. And I've done this for a long, long time. And so it's a proven truth in my life. It's a great stress reliever, and it brings clarity in my life. No matter whether I'm speaking in some state across America or the world, I try to be very committed to that 5 to 6 days a week. And every Friday since 1985. I have taken off Friday to be with my wife. And that is my refreshment time. And that is my time. That's my Sabbath. And so with those three things, I think that's the only way, by the grace of God, I've been able to maintain sanity and a commitment that has been pretty strong for the gospel and for the Lord Jesus Christ.
What strikes me about the three things that you just said is that they're not leadership skills. You know, they're not leadership practices per se. No. They're personal health, spiritual health, relational health.
That's right.
All those things, so that you have the foundation for all the leadership. I mean, you talked about the leadership grind when you were talking about the people who are in the 1 year residency program. I don't know, it stands out to me because it's so easy to get caught up in how to do leadership, and you just listed three things that don't necessarily get associated with that.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, leadership is a discipline, and people don't understand that it's really about establishing disciplines in your life. And I learned that many, many years ago as a young pastor, the value of starting and giving your mornings to God in study. I've done that for a long, long, long time. I don't usually take a public appointment. It's just very rare that I'm doing what I'm doing today until about 11:30. And I get up early in the morning and I just operate in it and have learned to love it. And I've done it for a long time, even when my kids were small, and I was committed to it, and the Lord has blessed it all these years.
Well, what I think is interesting is right now, Ronnie, we're seeing all kinds of pastors getting shot out of the saddle left and right. And it's not all one issue. It's multiple different issues.
Yeah. Burnout, morals, leadership style, all these things.
The trifecta that you just listed, I think, is very helpful. If you've got those three things down and they're discipline in your life.
Right.
I think that's the real important thing, because we all have dry spells. We all have
absolutely
times where we may be close to burnout or feel almost numb. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
But those disciplined things are what keep us, I think, from falling away.
There's no question. And I tell pastors all the time when I talk to them and other leaders, I tell them that, you know, ministry or leadership is a grind. I mean, it's just like the August football practices that happened every August in pro football, college football, high school football. There's nothing pretty about any of that, you know.
Nope, just 2 days every day.
Just a lot of sweating.
Right. And you know what? I mean, I told these pastors yesterday, you know, right now, all across America, there are college football teams, high school football teams, pro football teams that thought by this time they could be 6-2. They knew they couldn't beat Alabama, and they knew they couldn't beat Ole Miss. But you know what? Now they're 2-6. And you know what? None of it's worked out. And that's what you call the grind. Therein lies ministry. And you got to learn that ministry is about seasons. And the only way to make it through those seasons, whether they're dry or they're wonderful, whether they're sowing, whether they're planting, whether they're nourishing seasons and cultivating, or you're in a massive reaping season, ministry's in seasons. That's the facts of life. And if you don't have these disciplines in your life, you will lose your way, and you will get very discouraged and despondent. And so I really appeal to leaders today, give it your best. You got one shot, man. Make it count.
Just as I am. Sorry, we needed to.
You're going to do an altar call?
Oh, yeah.
I was into whatever you feel led to do,
come as you are. Well, as part of those rhythms, you know, the three habits that you listed, you mentioned taking a day off every Friday, that's your Sabbath, and you mentioned specifically spending that time with your wife, and that leads us nicely into our fourth question, which is, what does leadership in your home look like?
Well, beyond that day, you know, which is filled with basically going to a restaurant, having lunch, or just hanging out at home, or going to a movie, or going to a Friday night football game, or whatever goes on. I mean, we keep it pretty basic and usually pretty private, if possible, just because we're in the public eye constantly. Mm-hmm. But in relationship to really, you know, going back with when thinking about Josh and Nick being at home when they were little kids, I mean, we prayed for them every day before they went to school. We tried to mentor them, teach them how to walk with God. And you know, they're both loving the Lord. They're both very committed to church. Nick's in ministry. Josh is a head football coach of a major high school in the Birmingham area and having a great year, very committed to Christ. He and Kate and the grandchildren, or their children, my grandchildren. We have seven grandchildren, and they're all very young. And my kids started having kids, and they didn't quit for a while. And so they had them quick, and we just adopted a little girl. They did, Nick and Meredith did, about 18 months ago from Malawi, Africa. The rest of them are all biological children with all the other six. And so we're just really, really blessed. And, you know, we did this in life, and I raised my kids like this. We do Jesus, we do family, we do church, and we do football in that order. And we're still doing
But the Jesus. The last two can be switched around sometimes, right?
Yeah. Well, so we're still doing the Lord Jesus, and we're still, you know, all of us are still doing our family, and we're still doing church, and we're still doing football. And so that's kind of where we put our stock. Gina and I, we've continued to grow together. She walks with the Lord. When I come downstairs in the morning to get something from my study, you know, she's in the quiet time. She's walking with the Lord. She's trying to be what she needs to be. She leads a community Bible study in our subdivision. And also obviously very involved in our church. And she and I, we pray together every night. You know, it may not be very long. It may not be on our knees, but it may be laying in bed right before we go to bed. But we just call out to the Lord and pray about needs that people have, including our own needs, the needs of our kids, grandkids, or somebody in our church that God has on our heart.
Well, you mentioned football being one of the key pillars of the family, and I think, you know, early on in the podcast you mentioned you grew up a Longhorns fan. You now live in Razorbacks country, so I think the very pressing question is, who are you loyal to now?
Oh, I'm very loyal to the Razorbacks. You need to understand, I'm not dumb, even though I appear. The moment I crossed over the Red River and left Texas, I knew who would pay my salary, and I became an immediate Razorback fan. I'd been to Razorback games for 30 years, including this fall. And so I was there Saturday night when we defeated Ole Miss, and usually go to every home game. Nick right now, he teaches, and all of the football coaches every Thursday during the season, and also speaks to the team regularly in chapel. So the Lord has really blessed us with incredible favor and the privilege of joy in serving Him.
Okay. Well, I just felt like we had to get that settled for listeners in case they wondered if you were conflicted.
There was a question mark there.
You said that with all the conviction necessary.
When I moved here, guys, the Southwest Conference was alive. That was before both of you guys. But I want to tell you, it was alive and well. And there's one thing that Arkansas did that they could not stand. They hated. They hated the University of Texas.
Oh, I remember those things.
And with that, some folks still do, but in reality, we don't play them as much anymore, so it doesn't matter. We're now in the SEC, and Texas is in the Big 12, so obviously we're no longer competing on a monthly or a yearly basis, and so nobody cares.
All right. So this is a question where we take you back in time and ask you, what would you tell your 20-year-old self about preparing to lead?
Man, I love that question. I've heard you do it with other people, and so thank you very much for asking that. You know, recently I did a lesson for this Business Person Summit, and I did it for a group of pastors the other day because a guy heard it and wanted me to come do it for a group of pastors that I was meeting with. And I called it 30 for 30. In fact, they can find it online.
Careful, ESPN might sue us.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Well, I make clear that that's what 30 for, that's what, you know, I talk about ESPN and what that means on 30 for 30. But I define the lesson as 30 lessons I have learned about leadership by leading the same organization for 30 years. When I really designed that, it was in the fall, obviously, when I was, when the church was celebrating my 30th anniversary. And I listed at least 60 lessons that I've I've learned, and I stopped there. Then I had to figure out how in the world could I solidify and really come to 30? And I did. And so what I did, even in preparing for this podcast today, I went back to what I wrote following the lesson on this article I did about this 30 lessons I've learned. And here's the way I would say it. I picked five of those lessons I would tell myself, knowing what I know today, if I were speaking to 20-year-old Ronnie Floyd. So here they are. I would say this, Ronnie, you needed these five lessons really bad when you were 20. Really, really, really bad. And here are the five guys right here. Number one, all people matter. I tell you what, I was young and arrogant, thought I knew it all. And while I cherish and loved people, I wasn't sure I really learned that and really knew that and appreciated the diversity of personalities and people and their ways and their processes and who they are until probably 20 years or so ago. And God just really showed me, man, all people matter. And my church taught me that, quite honestly. The second thing I'd tell Ronnie, at 20 years of age, you need to walk slowly through the crowd, Ronnie. You walk too fast. You need to let people touch you, love you, and you need to love them back and give them an opportunity to do that. I'm doing that better, but that's still hard on me because I walk fast. I live fast. J.B. Hunt used to tell me all the time, and J.B. Hunt, he said, Ronnie, we don't hire anybody that don't walk fast. He said, but he's the one that taught me how to walk slowly through the crowd when you weren't working. It was very, 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 very powerful what he taught me. A third thing was never let anyone outside of your circle of love. I learned that almost 30 years here. And I would tell any pastor, any leader today, there are going to be people to write about you, speak against you. They're going to blog about you. They're going to put you down. They're going to talk pretty rude to you sometimes. But you have to understand you want to be clean before the Lord and clean with others. And you don't ever need to let anyone outside of your circle of love. You need to operate, live in forgiveness. And sooner or later, those people will circle back with you if you love them, even when perhaps they don't deserve your love. A fourth thing I would tell Ronnie Floyd at 20 years of age would be this lesson. You can go faster alone, but you can go farther with others. And boy, I've learned that the last 20 years. You can go farther with other people. And it's so easy. And so many leaders, they're out here flying solo. And that's not the way God made you to do this. You have to have people. And then I think the greatest leadership lesson I've ever learned, guys, is this final fifth lesson I would have loved to have known at age 20. Not every hill is worth dying on. It's just not. And you've got to define as a leader the hills that you're willing to die on. And I've learned this in leadership. Leadership is not always about having the last word, Todd and Barnabas. Leadership is about doing the right thing. And we need to stay high in our leadership, because one thing I've learned is that when we stay high in our leadership, there's usually no traffic jams when you stay high. There's plenty when you want to go low and play dirty and become like the world. But that's not the will of God. It's certainly not right for a God-called leader who has the touch of the Lord, hopefully, on his life.
Well, I think that's a great way to wrap up this podcast. Those practical pieces of advice, and they're not just practical; they're good for the soul as well. So, Ronnie, thank you for your time with us, for the wisdom that you shared, and thank you for 30 years of ministry at Cross Church.
Absolutely.
You said you see it as a mark of grace, and I think that's definitely true. But it's a rare thing, and we appreciate seeing a pastor who's faithful over time.
Thank you, man. It's great to be with you. Thank you so much, and y'all have a great day.
You too.
All right, and for listeners, if you jump to lifeway.com/leadership, you can find the show notes for this with some of the best quotes, the links to various resources that were listed. So be sure to do that. You can also find our blog there and additional downloadable resources, events we have coming up, things like that. So go to lifeway.com/leadership for more. Thanks for listening, and tune in next time. Thank you for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Remember, you can get a free 2-week trial of Ministry Grid at ministrygrid.com/howitworks. Try it out and see how it can help you develop leaders at your church.